Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. Jake Lyman is with us today. Hello, Jacob.
Hello, Jared. How's it going?
Outstanding. So let's start off on some football today. You know, we've been doing a lot of hockey this week. We got a lot of hockey on the program today, but let's start with a little football. We haven't done football in a little bit. So let's start off on some Titans stuff today. So we have conflicting reports on Legarius Sneed's health. Can you believe that? Because if there's anything that has been clear and has lacked ambiguity from the very beginning, it is Legarius Sneed and his knees. Legarius Sneed hosted a camp for kids because I guess who better to let your kid around than Legarius Sneed? And I guess he did an interview with a local station there. And in his interview, he said that he was fully healthy.
I'm healthy. I'm healthy as I've been. You know, last year, my first year didn't go as planned. But, you know, it's time to come out and, you know, show the world and show what God been instilling in me this entire year. I'm ready to get back on the field. And that's my life. That's what I do for a living. And I missed a whole year. And, you know, everybody, I have to remind everybody who Legarius Sneed is.
Have to remind everybody who Legarius Sneed is. So that's the first part about it, which, again, he says he's healthy. So, hey, he says he's healthy, but when would Legarius Sneed ever not tell the truth? And I kid you not, I did see some Titan fans that were super excited about that little local news interview. Oh, he says he's healthy. He's going to have a big year! And sometimes I just think that is because some of you people cannot help yourselves. I mean, I'm just sorry. Some of you people can just not help yourselves. But then, on the other hand, we have Paul Kaharsky, who was on with Robbie on Friday, who has a conflicting report about Legarius Sneed's health. Here's what PK said.
A couple thoughts to get to really quickly. So we'll start with this one on our text line. Basically asking about Legarius Sneed. And if you've heard anything lately on his health slash legal situation, do you think he's going to be available in game one against the Broncos?
I do think he'll be available game one against the Broncos. If he's not, it'll be health, not legal. I check in weekly. No grand jury date set, and I suspect that investigation will continue to be ongoing. I do think there's a chance he starts camp on PUP.
Okay. So, Legarius Sneed says, I'm healthy. I'm the healthiest I've been in a while. And Paul Kaharsky says, I do think there's a chance he starts the season on the PUP list. So, who do we trust? Well, I trust Kaharsky when it comes to this. Because remember last year when the Titans acquired Legarius Sneed and we raised all kinds of hell about his knees, and Derek asked him the day after he signed about his knees, and he said, Legarius Sneed's knees are okay. I think the exact quote was, Titan fans, you have nothing to worry about when it comes to Legarius Sneed's knees. And then Legarius Sneed played five games. And the big picture takeaway for me is not about this debate, is Sneed healthy? Well, I mean, what does it mean if he's not healthy? That's not it. The big picture takeaway when it comes to Sneed is I think the Titans need to figure out how to get out of the Legarius Sneed business before it gets any worse. I think they need to figure out a way. They owe him a bunch of guaranteed money. If the commissioner suspends him for the alleged shooting in Texas last year, then they can easily get out of it by cutting him and keeping all the guaranteed money. But regardless, I think the Titans have got to figure out a way to be done with Legarius Sneed. Clearly, Legarius Sneed was significantly damaged when they acquired him. It's why he never practiced in Kansas City, and it's why Kansas City didn't want to pay him, and they took a third-round draft choice to get rid of him. It's why nobody else in the NFL wanted him, except for apparently you, and that's why you got stuck with the bill. Can't cry over that much anymore, though, because the guy that made that move, Rand Carthon, is out. But since arriving, Legarius Sneed, who the Titans were sure was healthy, has been this big, massive mystery. And everything about him and his health apparently is G14 classified or a complete and total lie. For instance, he said he was fine last year. Titan fans, you have nothing to worry about when it comes to Legarius Sneed's knees. Lie. Then when he got hurt, they said it was a quad bruise. Remember that? Oh, no, it's not the knee. He took a helmet to the quad in the Indianapolis game. Lie. Then remember when he said, hey, I could be back any day. I could be back tomorrow. Lie. Didn't play the rest of the season. Got hurt in October. In October, November, told the media, I could be back any day. Could be tomorrow. Lie. Then the Titans put him on IR, and Brian Callahan said it wasn't just a quad bruise, but it was a quad strain and a quad bruise. Lie. Then they said, well, it was the quad, it's not the knee. Lie. If it was a quad strain, I'm telling you, he wouldn't still be hurt. Then, when they let him go home, because God forbid he have to stick around and watch his horrible season while getting paid $17 million to do so, he got involved, allegedly, in a shooting of a car dealership in which a grand jury is convening at some point, and who knows what he has told the Titans about that. And now he's missed all of the offseason because apparently he's still hurt, even though it was just a quad bruise when a helmet hit his quad, according to what they told us earlier. And Paul says he may start camp on the PUP list. But he says he's healthy. And that feels like a lie. Again, if you're trying to build a culture, which the Titans always claim they're trying to do, you're better off without Legarius Sneed. I think it's fair to argue whether or not, if you're trying to build a culture, are you better off without Jeffrey Simmons? But Jeffrey Simmons is not one-tenth the enigma and problem that Legarius Sneed has been. And I've said it as bluntly as possible. If I were the Titans, I'd wait until the league suspends Legarius Sneed, and then I'd get rid of him. But I don't know if the Titans are going to do that. When you listen to Brian Callahan talk about Legarius Sneed, or you listen to Denard Wilson talk about Legarius Sneed, all they ever do is tell you about how great he's doing in the media, in the meeting rooms, how great he's doing in the team building exercises, how great of a guy it is to have around the building. Again, based off of what? He never plays. He's always hurt. He doesn't tell the truth. And apparently he was alleged to be involved in a car dealership shooting. And yet Brian Callahan and Denard Wilson, the way they talk about him, you'd think they'd be nominating him for hall monitor. So I hear buzzwords like culture and accountability and leadership. And I hear the Titans string those words in sentences in which they explain why they're going to be better this upcoming season than they were last year. And yet, I wonder, how can you really get better when the highest paid players on your team are guys like Legarius Sneed, who you can't even trust whether or not he's got a quad bruise, a quad strain, or a quad injury at all? When Legarius Sneed is out there telling people, I'm healthy, only to hear PK, who I promise you, is not making this up, saying that he could start the year on the PUP list. Enough with the Legarius Sneed bullcrap. It's time to admit the failure, and it's time to figure out a way to move on. And maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe Sneed's healthy and the Titans are going to put him on PUP because they're going to wait for the commissioner to suspend him so they can get out of the contract. But at some point, when your team is Sneed and Simmons and guys like that, you can't talk to me about culture. At that point, you've got a bad culture. And just like everything that seems to come out of Legarius Sneed's mouth, it means that what you're telling me about what you want out of your team and what you want out of your culture is most likely the opposite of the truth. Just like what I think Legarius Sneed said last weekend that got Titan fans on Twitter so excited, thinking he was going to have some sort of massive year. It's time to figure out a way for the Titans to cut bait and move on and just be done with L'Jarius Sneed. The third-round pick, the money they've spent, it's a sunk cost made by a general manager who should have never been general manager to begin with. And it's time to move on and bring in quality guys and guys that can actually get on the field and can be trusted for anything. When it comes to Sneed, I don't trust him at all. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And kind of the one guy that I was circling when it came to getting rid of L'Jarius Sneed is off the board. And it doesn't make me feel good about the Titans' cornerback position, even if Sneed is healthy. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
Your potential grand jury indictment hanging over his head. It would seem sure. That would be something that would affect a guy coming to work. What have you seen from him, and how is that up there?
You know, the things about L'Jarius is that when he's here and working, he's fantastic. He's all the things that we hope he would be. Certainly when guys have off-field issues, he's not the first one. He won't be the last. There's a lot of guys that have things going on outside of the building that maybe aren't into public knowledge, or they're dealing with things with their families. There's a lot of things that happen that just like all of us, you know, you have to separate your personal life and your work life, and be able to come to work and focus on the task at hand. I think he's done a good job of that. Certainly anytime you have distractions off the field, you prefer not to have those. But he's done a good job of handling it and keeping, you know, the work here the main thing, and dealing with the things off the field when he has to deal with them. But I would say that's not unique to anybody in particular. I think that happens to a lot more guys than people realize. Again, maybe not necessarily civil cases or court cases, but just life in general. It can be hard to separate sometimes, and I think he's done a good job of it.
Yes, Brian, I know we all have lives outside of work. I mean, what are we talking about here? You know, I think we don't realize that enough, that guys have issues that happen outside of work. Yes, we do. At the same time, the patronizing of L'Jarius Sneed, who, again, he says he's healthy, whereas PK's reporting, yeah, he might start off on pup. Now, Jalen Ramsey is off the board. My get out of L'Jarius Sneed free card was when it looked like the Dolphins were going to try to find a taker for Jalen Ramsey, would have been to ship him off to Miami in exchange for L'Jarius Sneed. L'Jarius Sneed's owed $17 million in cash this year. Jalen Ramsey's owed $26 million. And I figured the Dolphins, who I think are tanking, by the way, I figured that the Dolphins would just be interested in getting rid of Ramsey, and I would have wanted Jonnu Smith back in the trade, and then you would have had to pay Jonnu Smith. But I knew Amy probably wasn't going to give him the money to be able to do that, and so they ended up taking a player who's expensive in the secondary that Pittsburgh didn't want anymore, and Mika Fitzpatrick, and now Ramsey's off the board. But you know what's crazy about the Titans? In order to win in the NFL, you have to play defense to some extent, and we all know that. And yet the Titans' defense, which was horrible last year, has gotten rid of its leading sacker. It got rid of Chidobe Awuzie. Again, he didn't play all that much last year, but he was a starting caliber NFL corner. And now it's Jarvis Brownlee and L'Jarius Sneed, who might still be hurt or might be in prison. And while they were never going to get Jalen Ramsey anyways, so it's probably no reason to cry about, oh, they didn't get Jalen Ramsey and they could have, it should be noted. Right now, the Titans have zero cornerback depth outside of Jarvis Brownlee, who, again, was like the 130th best corner last year and a nickel corner in Roger McCreary. And the fact that they have nothing but excuses when it comes to pass rushers. Again, you ask them, hey, so how do you guys plan to get sacks? And Brian Callahan and Denard Wilson go into these long, drawn-out, detailed explanations about, well, all four guys have to be on the same page. And last year we came close to sacking the quarterback, but we didn't sack the quarterback. But with all four guys on the same page, we've got to be able to focus and blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. And all they talk for like 2.5 minutes to explain how they're going to get sacks last year, when, again, it's the same guys that were explaining the same things to us last year, and they already cut their leading sacker, who's now in New England. this defense is going to be horrible. And at least when Jalen Ramsey was out there, you could dream of, hey, they could get rid of Snead, and then the Dolphins could get out of it. In fact, I think if the options were as simple as Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey for L'Jarius Snead to the Dolphins, or Jonnu Smith, Jalen Ramsey to the Steelers for Minkah Fitzpatrick, I believe the Steelers Dolphins would have taken the Titans' offer. Because with Snead, there is a legitimate chance you can get out of the money when he gets suspended by the league. I just think the Dolphins are trying to tank. And I think they brought in Minkah Fitzpatrick because Pittsburgh couldn't take on all the money between Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey. So, hey, we got to send somebody over there to balance out the money. And they didn't want Fitzpatrick anymore. A beat writer was on the Pat McAfee show who covers the Steelers and was like, yeah, they weren't going to re-sign him. I don't think they really wanted him anymore. So that's why they sent him back over there. And then when the Dolphins brought in Darren Waller yesterday, I'm like, this move feels to me like we're not tanking because these are names you know, but we're tanking because these players aren't any good at all anymore, especially Darren Waller. I think they probably would have done it because if they had added Snead, again, that's a name where it looks like you're trying to win, but you're really not. And then if he gets suspended, you can get yourself out of it. But now that Jalen Ramsey's off the board, what are the Titans going to do? I mean, this defense is going to be so bad this year. And yet, it's almost like Titan fans are, no, Jared, don't tell us that. And if anything happens to Brownlee, and Brownlee might not even be good, goodness gracious. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number on the program, 615-737-1025. One texter says, man, I would watch calling L'Jarius Snead a liar over and over as he's apparently already shot somebody. So here's what I'll say about that. Number one, I don't think L'Jarius Snead's going to shoot me. That would be something, though. But if he shot at me and he missed, I'd be doing exactly what the guy who he shot at, allegedly, and missed is doing, and I'd be suing him too. My first call would be to Levi McCathren, the guy who represents the guy suing him now. That would be my first thing. The second thing is, I mean, at some point, don't you have to admit that the Titans and Snead have lied? Again, the midday show last year, talk about carrying water and in the satchel. Last year, they had segments about, we can't be mad at the Titans because L'Jarius Snead hurt his quad. He didn't hurt his knee. I'm like, guys, he got hurt in the fifth game of the year, and they said it was a calf bruise from when a helmet of a Colts player hit L'Jarius Snead's calf. I mean, excuse me, hit his quad. It's been like 8 weeks. He finished the game and played 99% of the snaps and made the last tackle of the game. And Derek was like, well, but you know what? You can play through that, but then when the game's over and that bruise heals up, you'll see how bad it really is, and you can't. Right, but for 2 months. And then they put him on IR after he said, I may come back tomorrow. Think I'm pretty close. And then he got put on IR? Somebody's not telling the truth. Then Brian Callahan came out and admitted that they weren't telling the truth when he said it was a quad strain and a quad bruise. Because they didn't tell us anything about quad strain. But I knew better than that. I knew it was the knee. And the reason the Titans were lying about it is because they promised everybody when they traded for him that the knee was going to be okay. And so did he. Again, he's saying he's healthy. PK is saying he may start the year on the PUP list, which is the physically unable to perform list. Also, if it was a quad bruise, or a quad strain, or a quad torn off the bone, he'd be healthy by now. So it's absolutely the knee. And so I'm not worried about L'Jarius Snead shooting at me. But I will say, I think there's something to this when it comes to all the lying that they need to stop it. The Titans need to stop it. They need to stop kowtowing, just like that Callahan cut we played at the beginning. They need to stop kowtowing to Snead. They need to be honest, and quite frankly, they need to get out of the L'Jarius Snead business. One texter says, the Titans can still get Asante Samuel Jr. He's still unsigned. I'm just telling you, they're not going to spend any more money. My guess is the Titans are going to be very cash-strapped for the next couple of years. The Titans are fourth in payroll in the AFC South. They have been fourth in payroll the last couple of years, and I don't foresee that changing. I think they were told, hey, you get X amount of dollars, and that led them to Dan Moore and Cam Ward, and that's it. And I saw PK had a story out about how the Titans aren't going to be interested in Trey Hendrickson or in TJ Watt. Now, I don't think TJ Watt is going to be moved. I don't think the Steelers make the moves that they're making and then get rid of TJ Watt. But I don't think that, again, the Trey Hendrickson thing, I don't think the Titans would be interested in paying him $35 million a year, which is the market rate for him. And this is how the Titans end up being the Titans, when you don't want to pay. That's how it happens. So you can tell me about Asante Samuel Jr. That doesn't matter to me. The Titans are going to pay for that. The Titans are done buying players. It's over. They're going to put that crappy team out on the field. They're going to be awful. They're going to fire Callahan. And then everybody's going to say, well, the new coach is coming in to maximize Cam Ward. Because that's what happens with every crappy team. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. I did not see this commentary that is on Titan Stationery, that if this is an issue, they got a real culture problem. It's bad enough with Simmons and bad enough with Snead, but if this is an issue, holy crap, we'll get to it next. 615-737-1025 here on the program. This week's National's Best Deal is Tzatziki's. Craving something fresh and flavorful? Tzatziki's has you covered. From juicy chicken kebabs to perfectly grilled salmon, every bite is bursting with Mediterranean goodness, and don't even get them started on the homemade sauces and dressings. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenational.com/deals. Also, tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Sounds take on Memphis. Pre-game at 6:20, first pitch 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenational.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and by Family Leisure.
You know, somebody in his mold is never going to be Jeffrey Simmons in terms of his body type and his role. What is a reasonable next step for him to be more impactful in the pass rush?
Well, you know, I think, you know, he's mastering, you know, his craft of what to do, his primary, secondary move. You know, he has a better feel for what works well for him. So I think that as long as he keeps pressing himself and getting better and better at one or two moves, you know, he'll get in better shape this offseason. That's one of the things we talked about, dedicating himself to transforming his body, becoming, you know, lighter on his feet. Because when you watch him, he can do everything, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, being a big man, how big he is, he can do everything. But just getting in better shape, fine-tuning his craft, working on the moves that work well for him. And then ultimately he uses his power. So if he gets a one-on-one, he can power rush anybody there is. And collapsing a pocket will help the defense.
Okay, that was Denard Wilson talking about Tavondre Sweat. And did you notice that in that question, he was not asked about Tavondre Sweat's weight or getting in shape? Just say, like, hey, with his body type, he's never going to be Simmons, but how do they make him a better pass rusher? And Denard Wilson talks about, well, you know, secondary moves and technique and blah, blah, blah. But then he goes, you know, we're really focused on talking about getting in good shape. And that kind of went in one ear and out the other with me when he said it. Did you see what Jim Wyatt wrote? And again, I love Jim Wyatt with all my heart. He hasn't been with the Tennessean for 10 years. So what Jim Wyatt writes is on Titans Stationery, which means that it is Titans approved. So in Jim's mailbag, Jeremy Rodriguez from Winchester, California asked, quote, how goes it, Jim? I read Simmons came to camp looking ready to have a great year. How did Sweat look? Was he able to drop a little weight? How has the tight end room been looking? Hope you have a great week. And as always, Jeremy says in his question to Jim Wyatt, tighten up! All caps. Tighten up. Jim says, hi, Jeremy. I kid. That was a joke. Hey, Jeremy. Jeffrey looked great when he reported for minicamp, and Sweat looked just okay to me this offseason. I didn't notice a big difference in his weight when he reported back for the start of the offseason, but I think he's lost some weight since. He now has about 3 to 4 weeks to get himself in peak condition to be ready for camp. Then he goes on about the tight ends. And I saw a headline, you know, one of the aggregators out there that said, Jim Wyatt concerned about Tavondre Sweat's weight. And I read that. And again, reading that, you can't, it's not like Jim says, I'm worried that Tavondre Sweat's getting too fat. But again, this is Titan stationary. Jim Wyatt does not write stuff like this without the Titans either A, being cool with it, or B, and what I think is more likely, encouraging it. Sweat looked just okay to me. I didn't notice a big difference in his weight. But I guess I think he's lost some weight since. He's got 3 to 4 weeks to get himself in peak condition ready for camp. So are we back to the Tavondre Sweat weight watch? Where it's like, oh, is Tavondre Sweat going to show up in shape? And I kept going back to what all the anonymous scouts said after the Titans overdrafted Sweat last year with the 38th pick. And one of the scouts said, or one of the anonymous executives said, this guy is going to break your heart. And Titan fans just loved Tavondre Sweat. Because this past season, Tavondre Sweat, as a first and second down nose tackle, was a solid run-stuffing player. Now, again, you can get that in the fourth round. You don't need the 38th pick for that. And for some reason, Titan fans don't seem to understand that. But, I mean, when it comes to Tavondre Sweat, and now we got to worry about his weight again, I'm like, oh, dear God. Did the Titans do any research on any of these players before they drafted them? Before they signed them? And just, again, culture. The culture around here, the Callahan culture, Harold Landry last year. Guys can be themselves. Yeah. And here's Legarius Sneed with every excuse in the book to not play football. Alleged auto dealership shootings. Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey, it's not my fault, Simmons. Every time people say, hey, Jeffrey, why don't you go get more sacks? You know, you are paid $23.5 million. And then it's, oh, the media thinks I'm a butthole because I get double teamed. No, no, no. We expect you to beat double teams. I mean, you're a good player, right? So if you're a good player, you should beat the double teams. And now here we are with Tavondre Sweat, where he said when he was drafted, if I can get down to 340, I'll make it to the Hall of Fame. It doesn't sound like he's getting down to 340. Not when Jim Wyatt says, he looked just okay to me this offseason. And again, that cut. Again, can we get that cut again, Jake? Put this through the lens of Jim Wyatt kind of taking a crack at Tavondre Sweat, saying, again, I didn't notice a big difference in his weight. He now has 3 to 4 weeks to get himself in peak condition. He looked just okay to me when it comes to his shape. Here's Denard Wilson again on Jeffrey Simmons.
You know, somebody in his mold is never going to be Jeffrey Simmons in terms of his body type and his role. What is a reasonable next step for him to be more impactful in the pass rush?
Well, you know, I think, you know, he's mastering, you know, his craft of what to do, his primary, secondary move. You know, he has a better feel for what works well for him. So I think that as long as he keeps pressing himself and getting better and better at one or two moves, you know, he'll get in better shape this offseason. That's one of the things we talked about, dedicating himself to transforming his body, becoming, you know, lighter on his feet. Because when you watch him, he can do everything, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, being a big man and how big he is, he can do everything. But just getting in better shape, fine-tuning his craft, working on the moves that work well for him. And then ultimately he uses his power. So if he gets a one-on-one, he can power rush anybody there is. And collapsing the pocket will help the defense.
I mean, he's telling you, like, we've sat down with him. We're talking about losing weight. We're talking to him about transforming his body. We're talking to him about, oh, boy. Texter says, I have a son and a daughter. My son is older. You treat the Titans and the Preds like I do my kids. With my son, I'm like, come on, man, get your head out of your ass. And with my daughter, I say, it's okay. Just try to do better, sweetheart. I think there's a big difference between that and the way that I treat the Titans and the Preds. For starters, I absolutely ask the tough questions when it comes to the Predators the same way I do the Titans. I asked Barry Trotz last week if he was on the hot seat. I asked him every week during the season about firing the coach. I've told Barry Trotz, I think the goalie contract is going to be a disaster. I told Barry Trotz not to do it. Barry Trotz made a comment yesterday about the defense and then finished it up with, you know, last year Soros took too much criticism, which was undeserved. And Jake and I were talking about it yesterday. We're like, yeah, I think that that's kind of pointed in my direction. So don't tell me I don't get on the Predators. I get on the Predators plenty. And right now they suck too, just like the Titans. I think the Predators are going to do the same thing they tried to do last year, and I have a hard time believing that they're going to get a different result. One texter says, you're crazy if you think the Dolphins are tanking. They beefed up the offensive line, and the first time in 5 years we've done that. We getting two Pro Bowl caliber defensive linemen back from season-ending injuries plus draft picks on defense are beasts. Everybody's draft picks are great. Everybody's draft picks. Minka is an even better trade at safety. If the conspiracy to keep Tua benched from concussions and the double standard compared to all other NFL quarterbacks doesn't rear its ugly head, we'll have amazing targets with Hill, Waddle, and Darren Waller. And Waller has max upside potential. Darren Waller has not done anything in the NFL since 2020. He retired last year and was a rapper. Give me a break. I think the Dolphins are tanking. They just can't do it as directly as they did last time because they owe Tua $53 million this year. So it's like, well, you know what? We got Tua quarterback, but we're going to lose anyway. So let's try to keep the cost down, and we probably won't win. But, you know, hey, let's make it look like we're trying and go get Darren Waller, get him off the rap circuit. One texter says, come on, Coach Wilson, master his craft. Does he realize that only 75 pass rushers have ever done that ever? You can't master your craft in 2 years. What a doofus. I mean, I just think that those are just words. But again, I think that, hey, we've talked to Tavondre. We got to focus on his weight. You know, his weight, I think that's an issue. That, I think, and then when Jim Wyatt's saying it, that is, again, I don't think Jim Wyatt's just saying that to say that. I don't think Jim writes that if the Titans aren't cool with it or if the Titans haven't made it abundantly clear that they want that to be the narrative or that he knows that everybody in the building's talking about it every day. So it's like, well, I mean, everybody's talking about it anyways. And you want to know how I know how homerific this is? The other part of the question was about the tight ends. The tight ends have looked good, especially Chigakonkwo. Yeah, okay. 615-737-1025. That's our phone number, 615-737-1025. Chris Sanders joins us on the program next. Stillman & Company, 1025. 106 for the game. Stillman & Company. Hey, this September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinity's Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas in Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradle.org. By the way, I do want to say this, you know, just a couple of football thoughts to get out there when it comes to the NFL. Number one, I appreciate the fact, even though I have no idea, and I'm not going to try to pretend that I have any idea what this Steelers trade and what the Steelers offseason in which they've done the most un-Steeler-like things, whether it is go all in on Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf and Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith, you know, guys that are probably past their prime but still have a little game left, top it off to add to TJ Watt and Pat Freiermuth and some of the other guys they have. I have no idea if this is going to work or not. I have no idea. I mean, with Arthur Smith running the operation on offense, I would feel better about it than other people. But again, I'm not sure I have much of a feeling one way or another. And the reason I say this, though, that I'm glad the Steelers did it without knowing exactly what's going to happen, is I'm glad they did it because the Steelers were so boring to watch on primetime. And they're a team that's always going to be in primetime. So, you know, it's kind of like the Commanders before Jaden Daniels got there, the Bears every year, even if you don't want to watch the Bears, they're going to be on your TV. They're going to play at least once on Thursday Night Football. They're going to play games on Sunday at 3:30 because it's Chicago and they'll play a Green Bay and they'll say we can put that on TV. They'll play a Sunday night game. They'll play a couple of Monday night games. And the Bears haven't had a quarterback in 30 years, so they've been incredibly boring to watch. The Commanders, pre-Jaden Daniels, Washington, big market, NFC East, playing other big markets and proud franchises. They've been put on TV. I can't watch it. Now that they've got Jaden Daniels, I can watch it. And then, with the Steelers for forever, when they had Ben and Brown and Bell and those guys, or Hines Ward and Plaxico Burress, and Bill Cowher was the coach, and Jerome Bettis, I could watch them on TV. But lately, with Trubisky and Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph and the corpse of Russell Wilson last year, I could not watch the Steelers. Could not watch it. So I have no idea if the Steelers are going to be any good. I saw a Pro Football Talk tweet that said the Steelers are favored in 6 of 17 games. Again, who knows what that means? Aaron last year, not great with the Jets, but his numbers weren't that bad. I have no idea if they're going to be any good. But I do know this. I do know that they will be watchable. The second thing when it comes to the Steelers that I find to be at least a little fascinating is this report from Adam Schefter. And I say report, but I'm using this term loosely, by saying, quote, in recent weeks, multiple teams have been discussing whether they can trade for Pittsburgh Steelers standout pass rusher T.J. Watt, who skipped the team's most recent minicamp, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. So Adam Schefter is reporting that teams are discussing if they could trade for T.J. Watt. Is that news? Like, is that news? Hey, let's all get together. Do you think we could trade for T.J. Watt? No. Well, that's a team discussing whether or not they could trade for T.J. Watt. That's news? That's not news to me. That's like making something up. I mean, anybody can say that. Hey, breaking news! The Titans are having discussions about how they can make their team better for this upcoming season. Prove that I'm wrong. Matthew in Nashville says, the Dolphins fan who texted in is clearly living in denial. It seems very likely that they are tanking and that Mike McDaniel is going to be made the scapegoat of it all instead of just admitting Tua sucks. They're taking a page from the Jets. All the moves the Steelers have been made to appease Aaron Rodgers. I don't agree with that. I don't think it's made to appease Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith is to appease Aaron Rodgers. I think what it is I think Mike Tomlin, and this is why coaches can make for very dangerous general managers. Because the coach will always want the known veteran qualities that have beaten them in the ass before. Whereas general managers are supposed to be able to judge when a guy's going to phase out, and, hey, this guy's got the potential, and it's a very dangerous game to play, but general managers usually have to kind of think big picture. My gut is, Mike Tomlin has said, I am tired of having average teams with average players, and so let's do something different, and we're either going to be really good and we're going to actually be able to compete when we get in the playoffs and not just barely make the playoffs and get our doors blown off by Kansas City, Buffalo, or Baltimore. Or we're going to be really bad and we're going to have the fourth overall pick and we could take a quarterback next year. That's what I believe the Steelers are doing. And I think they're okay with either one. But I think the Steelers are tired of living in mediocrity, so they're okay with living on either end of it. One texter says, Titans, T-I-T-A-N-S, totally inept team and attempting not to suck. I wonder if that's in reference to Denard Wilson trying to spell out Titans at the rookie minicamp when talking about play like a Titan and write this down. We're going to be tough. We're going to be intense. We're going to tackle. We're going to anticipate. We're going to be not nice. And we're going to have spunk. Again, I can't remember what his Titans definition was other than the fact that I knew it was stupid. One texter says, your summertime coverage is either the NHL draft and free agency or the I'm Way Smarter Than You Dumb Fans by Jared. Wow, how long until week one? When did I say you were dumb? When did I say you were dumb? I said, again, last year, everyone's like, Jared Devontae Sweat's so good. I'm like, he's a nose tackle who doesn't sack the quarterback that you use the 38th pick on. And now Jim Wyatt is making underhanded remarks on his mailbag about Devontae Sweat's weight. That's what's going on here. One texter says, totally making fun of Denard Wilson. You know, the thing about Denard Wilson is, I don't think this guy can coach. I think he's all just a rah-rah guy. One texter says, coaches and players never tank, but the front office surely can tank. Again, I think the way the Dolphins are tanking is perfect. Because Darren Waller hasn't been good in 5 years. Jonnu Smith wanted something like $12 million bucks to play tight end. And I don't know if he would have shown up or not if they hadn't given him a raise. So what the Dolphins are doing is they're saying to the coach, whom they're probably going to fire, and the quarterback, who eventually they're going to dump, they are saying like, hey, we're trying. We got you Darren Waller. He hasn't been good in 5 years, and he's a rapper right now. But other than that, he was at one point a good player. Hey, we got you Minkah Fitzpatrick. Minkah Fitzpatrick regressed significantly last year to the point that Pittsburgh didn't want him anymore. But hey, we got you Minkah Fitzpatrick. Good luck. I mean, it's actually brilliant, especially if you as a team have already been accused and already found guilty of tanking in the past. People hear the names Minkah Fitzpatrick and Darren Waller, and they think to themselves, those are names. But they're not good anymore. Neither Fitzpatrick nor Waller were good the last time they played, and Waller didn't play last year. It's the easiest way to tank without looking like you're tanking. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So I heard Barry Trotz, unprompted yesterday, go out of his way to defend the goalie whose 8-year contract with a no-movement clause started yesterday. We need to discuss. And we will next. I'm going to company. 125-106 of the game.